Wisconsin, passed away on Saturday, October 18, 2008, at home surrounded by her family. The former May Ellen Mullen was born August 17, 1932, in Casilla, Mississippi, to Elijah Britton and May Essie Crosswaith Mullen. Ellen was a private duty nurse for more than 50 years of her life. She was currently a member of Calvary Assembly of God Church in Wilson, Wisconsin. But her most important role in life was loving mother, loving wife, mother, and grandmother. She will be sadly missed by her dear family and friends. Ellen is survived by her dear husband, Bill Schillenberg of Menominee, her loving children, Bill Provine of Lilburn, Georgia, Joe Pica of New Lisbon, Joellen Robinson of Menominee, Gina Lehman of Menominee, Beverly LaPica of Menominee, Lyle Phillips of Memphis, Tennessee, Lauren Phillips of Menominee, grandchildren, Britton Phillips, Brendan Lehman, Stephanie Robinson, Jessica Fields, Laura Brooke Phillips, Andrew Provine, Allison Provine, and Will Provine. Great-grandchildren, Evan, Thomas, Elijah, Hunter, and Cody, a cousin, Bill Bullion. She is also survived by other relatives and friends. I want to take great comfort in the scriptures this morning, so this afternoon. So would you just please listen to these scriptures and take them to heart as I share them with you. Job chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who gives rain upon the earth and sends waters upon the fields, to set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. And then from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And then Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So we see from the scriptures this morning that there is a time to mourn. But at the same time, in our mourning, we can have comfort. And so in this service, we also want our Lord to be praised. Praise be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are victorious in you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have conquered all. You have conquered even death. We pray today especially for the family, but also for all the friends that have gathered here, that, Lord, as we mourn, we will also be able to find comfort and hope in your everlasting loving arms today. We pray, Lord, that you would draw each one close, that you would give the grace that is needed. We pray today that as we remember our beloved Ellen, and remember that she would want you to be exalted and praised, that we would also be able to do that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some special music, Beulah Land by Paula and Molly Melsine. Bob Shackleton is coming to lead us in a congregational song.
I've asked our worship team to be with me today. As they come, I'll tell you that these are Ellen's songs. Great songs. Number 375, there should be a book close to you. Number 375, I'll Fly Away. That was very intentional.
Life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Pastor Kelly, can you sing a special?
Be
reason that song was chosen was because when Ellen was diagnosed with cancer, she would just say, one day at a time. You know, that's the way we all should live. One day at a time. Jesus says each day has enough trouble of its own. And we just got to take one day at a time. And with the Lord's help, you just put one day after another and put your life back together again. God is a faithful God. So glad that He will never leave us or forsake us. But He's with us always and through everything. Chosen kind of a different text to speak to you about this morning. When I thought about Ellen and how it was to describe her, well, there was one word that came to my mind, and that was class. And, you know, and then I knew I was going in the right direction because my wife said to me, you know, Ellen was such a classy lady. And then I think she was on the phone with Jody Inlow, and I think Jody said something to the same idea, because Debbie said, that's the first thing that crosses my mind, too, when I think about Ellen. She has class. She knew how to live in style. And so I thought I'd talk to you this afternoon about dying in style. Because not only did she live in style, she died in style. In Genesis chapter 25, it's talking about Abraham. In verse 7, it says, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 103 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. But people often talk about living in style. And so I wanted to speak to you about what it means to die in style. For over 100 years, Abraham had been living right. And then we come to this last chapter of his life and we find him dying right. And I'd like to say two things about death at the very beginning. First of all, we should all plan on dying, because Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die. And then after that, the judgment, we all stand before God. But it's appointed unto man once to die. Your death is as certain as your life. Secondly, we have to prepare for dying. If death is going to come to each of us, then we need to make preparations for that time. We need to prepare for dying, and we should be ready for death. We should be ready so that we are not afraid to die. And you know, Ellen was not afraid to die. You know, I marveled at her faith through it all, up till the end. She was strong. And you know, we often look to tragic times in people's life to see exactly where their faith is. And let me tell you, she had faith. And she lived out that faith. She walked that faith. She was not afraid. The dread of death is removed by the Lord Jesus when we know Him as Savior. And Ellen took Jesus Christ into her heart and into her life. He became her Savior and Lord. And so really, she was not afraid to die, because she knew that to pass from this life was to go into life eternal with the one who died for her sins, the one that she had received into her heart and life as her personal Savior. We should be prepared for death so that we will not be ashamed to die. We are here to celebrate her life. The despair of death is removed by the life we live as Christians. She lived the life of a Christian, and she had this testimony that she served God. And if a person like Ellen will live right, then they will also die right. If we want to leave as Christians without being ashamed, we should live as Christians without shame. John Wesley once said of his followers, our people die well. And when we look at the death of Abraham, we see him dying well. And as believers, we should want to die well. And as we look at the life of Ellen, we can see that she died well. And we want to be like her in this respect. We want to live well so that we can die well. And she died in style. Bill was telling me about the last moments there. She was called into a room. Gina was there, and I don't know if any of the other family was there or not, but Bill said he sat down, was holding her hands. She made some gurgling sound, and Bill said, "It's okay, Ellen. You can go home." She squeezed his hand, and then she was gone. That's style. That's class. And when the last chapter has been written about all that is said about you and I, because I want us to think about us here this afternoon as well, I want us to look at the last chapter of Abraham's life. And there are three features that I want us to notice. These three features I want us to have to be true in our life when our life story is ended. These were the features that were true in Ellen's life as well. First of all, I want to point out the fruitfulness she was experiencing. The fruitfulness that she was experiencing. Here's the point I want you to get. In Abraham, in his life, the most fruitful times were in the last years of his life. He was more fruitful at the end of his life than he was at the beginning. He started well, but he finished even better. And Ellen was still being fruitful. She was still bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. She was responsible, I'm told, she was responsible for praying her children into the kingdom of heaven. She's responsible for the grandchildren, serving God. And much of this fruit has really ripened and matured in the last few years. The last thing that she did in this church was she got into this baptismal tank. It was baptized in water. Not that she hadn't been baptized before, but she wanted to recommit her life to the Lord, and she wanted everybody to know where she stood. And Bill said they wanted to do this for quite a few years, but they're glad that they're waited because three of the daughters followed Bill and Ellen in the waters of baptism. That is style. That's class. That's being fruitful. And that's the way that I want to be when I die. Still bearing fruit till the day God calls me home. May it even be so that we are the most fruitful days of our life when it's our time to go. John chapter 15 is a great chapter in the Bible on fruit. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." So here is the ordination of the nail-scarred hands, that you go and bear forth fruit, that you be fruitful, and that your fruit would remain. We are to never cease bearing fruit. Ellen lived up to that verse. She knew what it meant, and she continued to bear fruit. And in fact, many of you here today are part of her fruit. And you remain here as part of her ongoing, lasting fruit. Second thing I want us to see about Abraham is true also of Ellen is the faithfulness she was exemplifying. The faithfulness. In her life of faithfulness, we see her being faithful to the Word of God. And that's the way to live, and that's the way to die. Being faithful to God's Word. When I leave this world, I want people to say of me, you know, he believed the book. He believed the Bible, he preached the Bible, and he lived by the words of the Bible. And that's the way I view Ellen. She knew her Bible, she lived by the words of the Bible. I love her comments in Sunday school, and Brian and I were talking about this. Brian says, one of the things I'm going to miss is Ellen was always witty. She was funny in Sunday school. And there would be times after Sunday school, and I'd get up and I'd go in the hallway, and people would say, "You sure we're laughing in there today?" And I said, "Yeah, Ellen just made a joke." You know, and she just had that way about her that that I will miss. Ellen would want you to stay faithful to the Word of God. More than anything, she wants you to stay faithful to God's Word. And you know what? She was not afraid to get after you when you weren't. So I've been there a couple times when she's gotten after members of her family because she didn't think they were doing exactly what she thought they should be doing as a Christian. And you know what? You remember that. You remember that. And also we see her faithfulness in her being faithful to the will of God. She lived by God's will. One of my favorite stories is the story of the engineer of the Brooklyn Bridge. During its building, the engineer was injured, and for many months he was confined to his room. His gifted wife shared his toils and carried his plans to the workmen. At last, the great bridge was completed, and the invalid architect asked to see it. They put him on a cot and carried him to the bridge. They placed him where he could see the magnificent structure in all of its beauty. He scanned the work intently. His critical eye ran over the great cables, the massive pillars, the mighty girders. He noted every detail carried out precisely as he had dreamed it in his dreams and wrought out in his plans and specifications. And then as the joy of achievement filled his soul and he realized that it was finished exactly as he had planned, he cried out, "It's just like the plan. It's just like the plan." Now, Ellen's life, God had a plan for her life. And I don't know all of her life, but I do know that since I have known her, she carried out God's plan for her life. And I know that God's plan for her and for all of us is that we be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That we be made to be like Him and to look like Him and to act like Him and to live out our view of Him according to God's Word. And that was Ellen. She fulfilled God's will, God's plan for her life. And I think she just got to the point where her plan, God's plan for her was fulfilled. And He took her home. And I want to encourage you as well because God has a plan for your life. Your mom had plans for you. She had goals for you, things in life that she wanted you to accomplish. And I believe it's going to happen. Ellen confirmed God's plan for her life in a number of ways. But probably the biggest way is that she received Jesus Christ into her heart and life as her Lord and Savior. And I know that she would want everyone to follow her example in this. In fact, if there is somebody here today and you have not received Jesus into your heart and into your life as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to do it today. It is the thing that made Ellen the special person that she was. She received Jesus into her life, and she was not the same. And she would want that for all of her children, her grandchildren, and all of her friends. She would want you to follow that example and find God's plan and God's will for your life. It begins by accepting Him as Lord and Savior. And then secondly, she was like Jesus. She was like Jesus in so many ways. You know, and we could go on and on here this afternoon, and you'll have your chance. I think you can tell the family what you appreciated about Ellen and how she was like Jesus, how she was like the Savior that she wanted to be like. One of those ways that stands out to me above everything else was in her giving. She was such a giving person. She was a giver of everything. All that she had, all that she possessed. I miss the times when she would call us up on the phone and she would say, "Let's go to Pizza Hut, my treat. You know, there's a buffet at Pizza Hut today. Let's go get some Coca-Colas." I'll miss those times. She gave to my family and myself in ways that I couldn't even describe to you. And she gave to us at times when we needed it the most. She just had an uncanny ability about her to know when we needed to be encouraged. And she was right there to give of herself to us. How many times, I don't know, she brought rotisserie chicken over to the house. You know, in our size family, one wouldn't do. So she'd bring two, and she got us started on rotisserie chicken. But she was also always giving, always giving. She would give of herself, her spirit. She'd laugh at my jokes. You know, not everybody else would. Can I tell you, I think this was her favorite joke. At least she made me think it was her favorite joke. I don't know. This guy from the north was traveling down south. And it was Christmas time. And in the park, they had the nativity set. And so the guy is looking at the nativity set, and he sees something that's strange to him. He sees three firemen in the nativity set. And so he goes up to one of the southerners, and he says, "You know, I don't quite understand the reason for the firemen in your nativity set." And the guy from the south says, "Oh, you northerners, you don't know anything, do you?" "Well, you know, the Bible says that the wise men came from afar." I can't say it like Ellen could say it, though. And then finally, the last point about Ellen that's so consistent with Abraham, it was also the fullness that she was enjoying. We read in verses 7 and 8 there in Genesis, "And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 115 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered unto his people." The last words are spoken. The last breath is breathed. A life is over, but it ends in fullness. Like Ellen, her life was full. She had a full life. Her life was full being a loving mother, grandmother, terrific wife to Bill. Her life was full. It can be summed up in the quantity of her life. God gave her a healthy life, a happy life, and an honored life. I remember when Gina or Joellen, last night we were sitting there talking at the funeral home, and she said, "Mom always knew that we loved her. Her life was honored." That's what a mom wants more than anything, to know that her children honored her and loved her. The greatest years of her life are those years that she gave to God. We should want to give to God every day that we can. And maybe this would just be a turning point or a starting point for someone here this morning, that from this time on, I'm going to give my life to God and I'm going to serve Him to the best of my ability. But it wasn't only the quantity, the 76 years that Ellen had here on earth, but it was also the quality of her life. In verse 8, it makes this statement, "full of years." It literally means satisfied with life. Abraham does not die an empty man, but a full man. He does not end his life with regrets, but with rejoicing. Warren Wiersbe said, "How few really experience joy and satisfaction when they reach old age. When they look back, it is with regret. When they look ahead, it is with fear. And when they look around, it is with complaint." That was not true of Ellen. Now, she might have had some regrets. We all have some regrets. But I know that she did not regret the investment that she made in your lives. She did not regret the investment that she made in any of our lives. Think of an old mountain song. It says, "I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the fight. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul." Ellen died on the battlefield. She's still a prayer warrior. She was still doing battle. She continued to do battle, I think, right up until she took that last breath, when she surrendered her spirit to God. One does not have to come to the end of life with regrets and an empty heart. They can come with a heart of rejoicing and a heart that's full. We should want our Lord to be satisfied with us as we have satisfied Him with our lives. If we live right, we will die right. Ellen showed us how to live in style. She also showed us how to die in style. Let's remember that about her. both in her living and in her passing, she brought honor and glory to Jesus Christ. May we do the same. Lauren is going to come and sing a special.
Is this on? Okay. I wanted to start off by saying, I don't know many of you, and I'm not sure that you heard the whole Mayo and Mullen story. The truth is that if you knew where it was that my mother came from, if you knew where it was that her children had been, because we're all nice and dressed up, sitting on the front row and being pallbearers and stuff. If you knew what Jesus did in my mother's life and the grace that was upon her life and how much she prayed for her children and the people that she loved to come into an intimate relationship with Christ and to have God as their dad, many people tell others that I love you, and then you walk away wondering, you know, we've got this saying in my family, love, love, you know, because people say it a lot. But my mother was the kind of person that if she said, I love you, you never had to guess because she was there for you. If one of us got sick in Alaska on the whatever mountains in Alaska, she would have sold all and gotten there any way she could to be able to minister to you and give to you. And so I'm really thankful because besides Jesus dying on the cross for me and my father putting up with me and loving me, my mom's love is the most directly responsible for my love walk now. And I think that's true for all of us. So she was like there all the time, no matter what. You know, she was there. And she was there for, man, really there. So this song is called I'll Be Here. So, and I'm singing it a cappella, so y'all just kind of bear with me. Tomorrow morning if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love, hold my hand and have no fear. Cause I will be here, and I will be here when you feel like being quiet. And when you need to speak your mind, I will listen. And I will be here when the laughter turns to crying. Through the winning, losing, and trying, we'll be together. And I will be here. Tomorrow morning if you wake up and the future is unclear. I will be here. And I will be here for you to cry on my shoulder. And when the mirror tells us we're older, I will love you. And I will be here to watch you grow in beauty and tell you all the things you are to me. I will be here. And I will be true to the promise I have made to to you and to the one who gave you to me. As sure as seasons are made for change, our lifetimes are made for years. And I will be here, we'll be together, I will be here.
Number 540. And a sweet bye-bye. I could talk a while. I don't think I could add to that message. Appreciate it. We were very close.
Be seated for just a couple more moments. I would like us to close in prayer, but I would just like to encourage you to remember the family in your prayers in the days, weeks, months, and even years to come. And don't forget about them after the service this morning. Father, we are thankful for the shore. The beautiful shore where someday we will gather together again. Lord, with Ellen and all loved ones that have gone on before us. What a day that will be. It'll be a time of great rejoicing. But I just want to thank you, Lord, for making that possible and for sending Jesus to show us the way. And thank you, Jesus, that you came and that you gave your life as a ransom for us. Thank you for showing us the way to the Father. Lord, we take comfort and hope in these truths this morning. I ask also that they would be a great comfort to the family and friends of Ellen's in the days to come. Lord, give strength, give grace. You are the God of all comfort. You give the peace that passes all understanding. We covet those things today. We ask for them. They would help us in our time of mourning. I pray, Lord, for Bill. Lord, that you would become even more real to him during this time. And for the children, Lord, that they would also feel your presence, strongly upholding them. And for the grandchildren and for others, Lord, that you would give just whatever is necessary, whatever is needed. Again, Lord, we thank you because this is not goodbye forever. This is till we meet again. Till we meet again on that beautiful shore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lunch.